Welcome to the Post-Christian Podcast. Our mission is to make disciples in a post-Christian culture. I'm Eric Bryant, one of the executive pastors at Gateway Church in Austin, author of Not Like Me and my new book, Fruitful, Becoming the Person God Created You to Be. I'm also providing resources at ericbryant.org. On today's episode, I'm excited to have back with me Larry Linenschmidt. How are you, Larry?
Oh, I'm doing great, Eric. Always better when I see you.
Well, I say to have back. This is actually your first time on the podcast, but we used to do many events together years ago, and it is good to see you as well. I'm excited to hear some of your insights. You're the executive director of the Hill Country Institute, and I wanted to talk with you about creation care and why that's so important for people of faith to engage in. I think for those who are maybe living in environments that are more post-Christian, I think there's a lot of folks that aren't in the church that have a real heart for the environment, are really concerned about climate change. Talk about how you've been engaged in this conversation in both the world of nonprofit faith, but also in the world of just folks who care, may not have faith.
Sure, Eric. Well, first, let me just say thank you for all that you do for the body of Christ, because it's so important to be thinking that we are in a post-Christian time, but perhaps we're also in a pre-Christian time, and that this transition can make it new and fresh and alive again. And that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about creation care. It's something that we can cross boundaries. We can go outside of our people who are close to us in the faith and find common allies outside the church. Within the body of Christ, you know, the Hill Country Institute, we put on events about creation care. We have a podcast and radio program called Hill Country Institute Live that's available on your podcast app. And we've interviewed a lot of people who are authors and leaders within the church in creation care. And then outside of the church, within the church body, I'm a part of the Evangelical Environmental Network, and it's a group of Christians that are really all over the country and very involved with this type of effort to talk about it, find ways to come together and speak as well outside the church as well as in. And then I also work with a group called the Citizens Climate Lobby. And we work on some very specific legislation. And I would say that in the Austin chapter, you know, there aren't a lot of Christians, but I'm there and they welcome me and I welcome them, and we work well together. In fact, this week I testified at a legislative committee of the Texas legislature about how we approach clean air and issues of climate change in Texas.
Wow, that's amazing. I'd love to hear more about that particular bill, but also about what is some of the work that you're doing that is about fixing the environment, cleaning up the environment, helping take better care of this beautiful world God has given us.
Oh yeah, and I think, you know, if you go out, you know, Gerard Manley Hopkins talked about the grandeur of God, and if you go out in nature, you just can't help but appreciate God's creation. And I think when you ask people, does nature help you get closer to the Lord? I think the answer is almost uniformly, well, yes, of course, you know, and it's all his handiwork. It's all for him and about him and through him. You know, in Colossians, you see this great verse, Colossians 1, 15 through 17, that it's all for him. It's all his. So it helps me to think about this creation being God's. And in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, God finished the creation, except for this important part, us. You know, he created humans. And he said, I want you to take care of my good creation. That's our calling. I want you to have stewardship. I want you to have dominion over it. And dominion means we take care of it. It doesn't mean we use it. It means that we get things out of it. We grow. We do whatever. But Eugene Peterson said, dominion doesn't mean doing what you want. It means caring for what's been given to you in a healthy way. And that's why that dominion word is such a key word. We all want to be thinking about how do we care for what God's given us? And that means clean air, clean water, adapting to things that are going on, rising sea, warmer temperatures. All of that is part of our calling. So what we're doing at the Hill Country Institute is trying to encourage people to be a part of that. So I teach, we do podcasts, you know, at my local church, we did a environmental audit. And that's something churches can really think about. You know, how can you be more efficient in your use of energy? What plants can you plant that will fit both your locale and your environment and be helpful to pollinators and birds and maybe small creatures, depending on how big a physical plant you have? You know, there's so much that we can do in our church plant as well as our home and land that we own to help take care of God's good creatures.
Well, I think living in a city like Austin, I haven't done a census, but I'm almost certain there are more dogs than children in Austin. People here love their pets. I mean, there are veterinarian clinics all over the place. People are absolutely, you know, keeping that industry in business. There is a real love for nature, for animals. And so for a person who does not have faith, you know, what the news paints is a picture of Christians who are science deniers. You know, they are don't think climate change is real. They think of Christians as, you know, not taking good care of the earth or even caring about that sort of thing. Yeah. And there's even some that have a theology of like, this is all going to burn up anyway, right? Whereas the scriptures start with heaven and earth are together and the Garden of Eden, and then it comes back together again, the new heaven and new earth, the last two chapters as well. You gave us some good theology earlier. Talk about why it's important for believers to see this as not just being good stewards, but also as an opportunity to develop relationships with people who don't have faith.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing to think about is that it's God's world. All of creation is God's. And so by being a steward, you're just taking care of somebody else's stuff. You know, if I loaned you my watch, I mean, I don't even wear a watch anymore. I don't know why. Well, if I loaned you my cell phone, let's say that, you know, you take good care of it because it's somebody else's. You wouldn't stomp on it. You know, and it's the same with God's creation. So that's always a beginning point to come back to. And now for us, there's a separation between the creator and the creation. And that's a huge distinction. And sometimes non-believers don't see that. They you know, and if you go into Eastern religions, there's a blurring of things that comes about as well. Well, to have that distinction and that separation, we need to show that we can have that value creation and come alongside other people who care about it as well. I'm an avid birder. I work with the Audubon Society, and you know, we try to protect places where birds pass through. Austin is a big migratory center. And we're at the time we're recording this, it's a great time to be out birding. The warblers are coming through, and warblers are wonderful. A fellow wrote a book, said, one more warbler, you know, just one more warbler. That's what, kind of what we all want. So how do we preserve that space? And working with Audubon gives me a chance to meet a lot of really good people who care about this. The Citizens Climate Lobby is another group that I work with. And we're focused on a piece of legislation about having a carbon fee and dividend. And we can go into that as much as we want. But the idea being that Milton Friedman, an economist, said that we should tax pollution. So if we have a tax on carbon because it damages the environment, then we can give that money back to people. And that will also help the free market get to a point where the clean energy, just by virtue of being less expensive, will become more dominant. And there's good news on the clean energy front, too. In the first quarter of this year, 34% of electric energy that was generated in Texas was from renewable energy. Wow. And, you know, we think of Texas as being this big oil and gas state, which it is. There's no doubt about it. But we're also the leading generator of wind generated energy in the 50 states. Wow. And with the we'll probably be close to California, maybe even exceed California in the next couple of years with solar. So we're rapidly moving in that direction. And, you know, and thinking about power and speaking out about it and advocating for green energy, that's something else that we can join hands with people who are not believers And there's good cause for that, you know, because when you burn coal, you get carbon into the atmosphere, mercury. I'm pro-life, but I'm also healthy life in the womb and healthy life out of the womb. And the mercury that comes out of burning coal, as well as the other pollutants, are not good for the unborn. And not good for us who are older. It may have even contributed to some of us losing our hair. You know, for anybody that looks at this on Zoom, you can see it. Yes. Something got us.
Well, I do think there's something really beautiful about what you said about, you know, as people of faith, we should believe in the value of each human life. And that's including those who are living on planet Earth. And oftentimes it's in poor parts of our country that pollution runs rampant. It's in poor parts of our world that people are living in a situation that's really untenable. I love the very proactive way that you're engaged in politics, but it's politics not for the sake of kind of picking a side. You're more of a cause activist. And talk a little bit more about that. You might disagree on different elements of this party or that party, but you've, as a person of faith, really chosen different issues that might upset some on one side or the other, but it's really grounded in your faith. Talk about that for a moment.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think let's think about worldview thinking. Okay, where do we begin on a topic? Well, I like to begin with Scripture, and Scripture talks a lot about creation care and the beauty of it, and that's always a place to start. Christopher Wright, in his seminal work, The Mission of God, wrote, "And it's the greatest commandment that we should love God that surely implies that we should treat what belongs to God with honor, care, and respect. That would be true in any human relationship. If you love someone, you care for what belongs to that person." Like you not smashing my cell phone a while ago. You know, that's the kind of thing. So that's where we begin. We begin with loving God. We begin with going into the Scripture. And then second, what do the experts say? You know, whatever it is you're talking about, if it's racial relations, what's the story? What's it been like for someone to be Black? What have they experienced? What was it like to hear from your grandfather about lynchings, or your father about the Jim Crow era? So you go where people know more about it. And there's no conflict between faith and science. Catherine Hayhoe, a famous well-known climate scientist who teaches at Texas Tech. She's married to an evangelical pastor. She's an evangelical. She says that, you know, science helps us to see what's here, the reality of what's present, and our faith helps us to see beyond that. And so there's no dichotomy there. There's no separation. Science just helps us to understand more about God's good creation. And the two books is a good way to describe that. The book of Scripture, the book of science. So we go through science, and after we think through science and think through what we've learned there, then we develop ideas about solutions. And those solutions can be at a personal level. They can be at a you know, like the church, thinking about what we can do with our property. They can be at a citywide level, a state level, nationally and internationally. So we begin to think about those things. And then, and only then, you know, go to politics. Always, people want to start with politics. We're such a politically charged, rowdy generation, I guess. I don't know what to call it. You know, I'm a baby boomer. And sometime during our, maybe this is a good time. I just want to apologize because we made a mess of the creation, and we made a mess of how people get along. And I'm sure hoping that millennials and Gen X and Gen Z, y'all, we're giving you a big load. I hope you'll carry it. I'm sorry. I apologize. But
well, that's incredibly kind of you on behalf of all baby boomers. And I do think that, you know, Gen X along the way is what I am. You know, there is a sense of, really, millennials and Gen Z care more about the planet. You know, I think in total and in many ways, they're seeing some of the adverse effects of some of the greenhouse gases and other things that seems to be, even in the Christian world, less and less climate change deniers. You know, I do think that there is a sense of not only is this important in terms of connecting with people who might not vote the same way you might on other issues. This is also about reaching a younger generation, right? You're talking about Gen Z and millennials and whoever else is after Gen Z. They're going to care about the environment far more than the church is known to care about it. I'd love for folks to know how to get a hold of your environmental audit or your website. What are some of the resources that you would recommend to churches that want to try to start this conversation?
Oh, sure. Well, Arocha, it's capital A, new word, R-O-C-H-A, Arocha, which is Portuguese for the rock, is an environmental organization of Christians founded by an Anglican minister in Portugal, and they're on all continents now except for Antarctica. And they have projects there. They have project in Texas, for instance, a ranch that they're rehabilitating. If you're a rancher, farmer, have any size piece of land, there are things that you can do in leaving natural areas that will promote wildlife. So they're working on that. But Arocha has the capacity to do an audit on your church. And they're easy to find. Arocha USA would be the organization. And it's if you have any trouble finding it, hillcountryinstitute.org. You can email me at larrylenenschmidt@gmail.com. It's linen like a cloth and Schmidt. I spell it that way all the time. And one person gave a voicemail that said Larry Linen Cloth Schmidt called. So you never really know what people are hearing. But for the church, there's the resource of actually checking out your physical plant. But there's also the resource of preparing people and teaching. And I'm delighted to come and teach. I know other folks with the Evangelical Environmental Network. By the way, EEN, Evangelical Environmental Network, also has a lot of good resources. And the leader, Mitch Hescock, and he's a pastor, and a weatherman named Paul Douglas, combined forces and created a book called Caring for Creation, The Evangelical's Guide to Climate Change and a Healthy Environment. And it is probably the one single book that I would start with. There are a lot of really good Christian books on this topic. And I want to also say, if evangelical is a word that turns you off, don't worry about reading that book, because it's more, he could have called it Christians, but I think it's trying to appeal to a more conservative side, you know, because like Eric, you mentioned the political side. We want people that are self-identified evangelicals to know that there is a place to deal with climate change, with creation care and all these things. So you can look up Evangelical Environmental Network. I'm glad to assist people as they're putting teaching programs together or to come teach. I like to go through these three sections, particularly scripture, expertise, what do we do? And then maybe we talk politics. And like you said, when we're dealing with politics, maybe we can just focus on an issue, because then you can form forces combined with people who you probably don't agree with on a lot of things. And that's okay. You know, you don't have to have all the toys. You know, you can share your toys, so to speak, and share your work in this one area. And it's so important to do that.
That's great, Larry. Well, thank you so much again. Hillcountryinstitute.org. So many great resources. Keep up the great work. Very grateful for you. Thanks, Larry. Thanks for joining us on the Post-Christian Podcast. More resources available at ericbryant.org.